Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning and welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And more energy than we should be allowed to have this hour of the morning. And one of the reasons, I think, is that you just feel the energy when we have this guy on the air with us. Talking about Mark Hart, the Bible geek, vice president of Life Teen, author of three books. And Mark, good morning. Welcome to the program.
It is great to be back. Thanks for having me again.
It's kind of scary now. I had someone actually tell me that they hustle their kids into the car a little earlier to get them off to school so they don't miss the beginning of your segment on Mondays.
Oh, well, that's very humbling. Look at that. We're battling truancy.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Somebody's thinking, oh, what a way to start the Monday. And then they get you in the morning. It's like, oh, wow, this is great.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
God love them.
You're one of the good ones. Well, we're deep into a shortened Advent season, Mark, and you've got a lot of things going on, too. Let's talk, before we get into a question today, let's talk a little bit about all the things going on, and particularly a topic that we're very interested in, and we've been talking because it's out now, and that's the T3 series.
Yeah, T3, it's really exciting. It's being tried out in a variety of settings. That's what I think I'm most excited about, not the sheer number of people that are trying it out and getting involved with it, but the different settings. Originally when I was asked to do it by Jeff and by the crew at Ascension Press, by Jeff Cavins, the challenge was, you know, obviously when you have adults that are looking to learn Scripture, it's a very different monster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the adults are usually, they're going willingly, they're wanting to learn. So, the full 24-week adult version of the Great Adventure Timeline series, you know, is very well attended all across the country and even in other countries. Part of the difficulty with T3 was that, you know, in several settings, you're going to have, it's going to be teens that maybe necessarily don't want to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
It's being put on in front of them. So going into it at the beginning, I had to take a very different philosophical approach, and that was to realize that most of the viewers under, you know, a certain age are going to be, we're going to be fairly closed or fairly raw when it comes to where they are in the evangelization process or knowing Scripture, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Which was a really fun challenge. And what's been great is that we were able to put together, by the grace of the Holy Spirit and the hard work of a lot of people, put together a product I feel like really it's been proven to work now in classroom settings, like in Catholic high schools.
Mm-hmm.
It's working in youth group settings, whether that is in a one long, you know, sit down day, or whether it's in a few sit downs, like a few Bible study sit downs. But it's really working in homes too. That's what I'm probably most excited about, is that it's bringing families together again.
Well, I was talking to someone last week, and they've gotten to the point where they would like it to happen in their parish, but they don't see it happening. They've recommended it, but you know how the planning season is for so many DREs and youth groups. They're already into Lent and way past there.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're not going to wait. They are doing it in their home, inviting their kids' friends over to the house and having the Bible study there. Parents are taking it upon themselves to just get started, and honestly, it's great.
And it's broken up into enough segments and stuff. One of the things I even put in, there's a leader manual that's an optional buy for the series.
Mm-hmm.
The thing
right.
I put in there, as I said, that there's several key hints and tips I put in there for leaders or whoever it is, teachers, parents, catechists, for opening the Scripture with teenagers. And one of those is that the environment is very, very important. It cannot be understated enough. If you make it feel like a classroom the whole time,
mm-hmm.
They're going to respond to it like a classroom the whole time.
Yeah.
If you make it a relaxed setting, living rooms, you know, teen rooms, youth rooms, things that, you know, that are, think where it's, you know, where they're comfortable. You know,
mm-hmm.
make popcorn. Get you know, chips and pretzels. Get some Cokes and stuff. I mean, sit back and just make it something that you'd want to just sit and hang out. You know, and don't feel you have to get through all of it at once. You know, and sit down in a few settings and a few sittings. You know, and really just have some discussion. You know, make it as loose and as inviting an environment as possible.
Sometimes I have to wonder about adults, because that's what we would do with our friends, to invite them over to share. Why not allow our teens to do it that way instead of trying to think that we have to somehow be very formal?
Right, yeah, before you know it, people are running out and buying dry erase boards and eating things like that, because, you know, because honestly, I think for a lot of times, if you're leading a group kind of thing, it gives you a foundation and kind of some autonomy if I'm up front presenting.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of it being on DVD and the way that the study kit is designed, you know, the study kit's really designed for not only to go along with the series, but to give you things to study and to read and to learn far after you've gone through it. Is really to be designed where most of that presentation work's really been done for you, where you can just kind of sit back and enjoy.
Well, and I think we have to, as Catholics, really love and enjoy the Bible so that we're comfortable with it. I mean, so much so that we're comfortable with it. I remember when I used to be involved in CYO back up in Michigan, and that was more of a Christian youth. It wasn't a Catholic study. You're just so comfortable with the scriptures that you don't have to feel regimented.
Exactly. And we also always want to create an environment where anybody, especially teens, feel they can answer, they can ask any question.
Yep.
There's no such thing as a dumb question. And if someone doesn't know the answer, that's okay, because the answer exists. We just have to have the fortitude to go find it.
You bet. Well, God bless you, Mark, and of course, Jeff Cavins and everyone at Ascension for putting this together. And we do want to encourage people to shop their favorite Catholic bookseller and find T3.
Well, thank you for that, and I appreciate it. I'm actually right now I'm excited because throughout the rest of Advent and Christmas, I'm in a lot of prayer and discernment and discussion with where we're going to go from here as a follow-up to T3, what books and what direction we're going to go, because there's definitely a need for some follow-up studies, you know, because there are a lot of people excited about it, and we want to give them more.
You know, Mark, one of the hardest things I know for teenagers and even those in the junior high, that a kid will get themselves on fire for their faith. They've either been around another family, or maybe they've been at Mass, or something's just touched them and they're excited. And the enthusiasm in their own family is really minimal. And it can be such a buster, can it?
It absolutely can. And it's hard, because when you have that mountain high, that mountaintop experience on a retreat, on a conference, on a camp, through other people, through the sacraments, it's something kind of goes on, the lights go on for you, and you have a real experience, a real encounter of God, a real theophany moment. And then when you lack that support, especially within your own home, it's hard, because how are the roots going to grow if the soil isn't fertile? And it's hard, too, especially if people are kind of separated from their church. Maybe it's not easy for the teens to get to a youth group. They can't get back and forth. Maybe they can't drive themselves. Maybe it's just too much. Where do the teens find their community? You know, the reality is, when it comes to evangelizing our young people, especially, relationship is vital, as vital as it is to all of us adults. That, you know, if you do not have your catechesis, if you do not have your evangelization steeped in relationship, it's going to be doctrinal formation. It's just going to be doctrine, and it's not going to stick. The roots are not going to grow. They might have the head knowledge, but it's never going to transfer to the heart. And that's why it has to be steeped in relationship. So it's vital. Youth group settings are vital. Having faithful friends and friends that you can talk about faith with is vital. Finding that community. Hopefully they can find it in their parish. Hopefully they can find a relative, other close friends, if it doesn't exist in their home. Obviously, we want it to exist in their home. That's one of the reasons, honestly, on lifeteen.com, we have supervised and monitored talk forums. Not really chat rooms, but boards where people can post and ask questions and kind of lift each other up. We have a button on there where teens can ask for prayers. And we actually have different members of our staff. We go before the Blessed Sacrament every day, and we pray for each of the prayer requests by name. Mm. And we have prayer warriors all over the country who just take those petitions to prayer every day before the Lord. And what we're trying to do is, and even though it's not ideal, I mean, it's virtual, it's on the computer, but at least it's something.
Yes.
You know, for people to know that they're not walking the walk alone. And that's why we're constantly going out with LifeTeen and trying to offer regional trainings, regional events, conferences, things like that, co-hosting, getting together with other ministries, and trying to provide opportunities for every young person, you know, to see the bigger church and to see that they are not alone, and that there are other teens that suffer the same problems and suffer the same some of the same issues and hurdles and obstacles that they do.
Right. Well, Mark, we're moving our way toward Christmas, of course, and certainly in the throes of a huge culture war and everything, and certainly the name of Jesus Christ becomes very prominent this time of year. And I guess we'd like to find out, if you find yourself, whether you're a teen or an older adult in a family or situations with relations, other relatives where you want to talk about your faith, but they generally don't go to church or seem to care about it. What advice would you have for those people as we head here toward Christmas?
Well, that is such the million-dollar question around the holidays. You find yourself around the dinner table before you eat, and there's that awkward moment when you want to offer a prayer, you know you should, and maybe there's that unnerving part. Is it going to make Aunt so-and-so uncomfortable? Is it going to make so-and-so feel awkward? Or it becomes, we're going to pray, we're going to keep it really fast and really quick. It almost becomes like a token offering sometimes. Because we want to keep everybody, comfortable. Or sometimes it's such an elephant in the room before the holiday actually happens that we already have that nervousness, that trepidation going through our stomach. Or maybe, just maybe, it's finally that year when dad or when grandpa or when somebody else says they're going to come to Mass with us. And then the whole time we're there, you know, we feel like it's finally an answered prayer. They said yes, they come. And the whole time we're there, maybe it's one of those masses. You had to park 6 miles away, walk through snow. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in a vestibule behind a statue the size of Manhattan. You're straining to hear. The mass goes long. People are perturbed. Maybe you're feeling. Maybe you become hypercritical of the homily or something else. And before you know it, you're so deflated when you walk out because it means so much to you to have that person there, and you feel like the liturgy let you down or something.
Oh yeah.
And we've all been there. I think the first thing to remember is God's time is not our time. And that is that we can have all the hopes in the world. We cannot measure success in the ways of the world. Is that, you know, that God will work on people in his time. And the best thing we can do is just to constantly bring the love and the mercy of God into the lives of other people. So we cannot allow ourselves, even if we're just heartbroken inside, if someone says no to going to church, we cannot allow ourselves on the outside to be so demoralized that it adds additional guilt to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to carry that mercy and trust in God's plan. Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to stay vigilant in our own prayer. And when I say vigilant, I mean daily. We need daily to pray for people by name. You know, have all of those family members who are looking for God in all the wrong places.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are going to be in our homes and those who are not, we're not going to see during the holidays, but who we know. Those who, you know, we have to be praying for those people. And we have to be praying for them by name. We have to be praying constantly. And if we don't know what to pray, just simply pray, Lord, I just pray that you will soften their heart. Lord, I pray that they will seek you, that they will know you, that they will want to get to know you. God, I pray that you will give me the wisdom, you know, to speak. I pray that when time comes, you know, it says in Romans 8:26 or Luke 21:15, you know, that we shouldn't prepare all everything. We're not going to prepare some beautiful speech ahead of time. I know sometimes we rehearse those speeches in our head.
Oh, yeah.
This comes up. This is what I'm going to say to that lady, or this is what I'm going to say to this guy. And, yeah. And you know, it says in Luke 21, do not prepare your defense. I will give you words. It says in Romans 8 that the Spirit speaks in groanings too deep for words, that we have to just trust that if we are prayerful, those opportunities are going to present themselves. Most likely, they're not going to be in a large group around the dinner table when someone throws down the gauntlet kind of moment. It's going to take place when someone's in one room watching football, someone's outside throwing snowballs, and I'm in the kitchen with so-and-so, and it, something just comes up. You know,
yeah.
God's going to present those soft, quiet, gentle, intimate moments in which we have a chance to load both barrels and just open fire with a lot of, you know, with a lot of angerness or bitter or anything else, but instead we have the opportunity to open both barrels with love and with mercy.
Well, amen. Boy, I can remember feeling those moments many times having conversations with people. And when you truly do open yourself up to the Spirit and let Him speak through you, it's just amazing at what comes out of your mouth. You know, I mean,
shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you stand back and you think, wow. I mean, it's almost like you're watching yourself saying it.
I didn't even know I knew that.
Yeah,
yeah, how about that?
Yeah, so before you know it, some homily you heard 5 years ago comes right to you, you know. Honestly, it's a prayer. We need to pray for those people first and foremost.
Yeah.
And I also think it's really important that we ask those people in our life who we want so badly to know God's love and who might have stopped going to church for all the wrong reasons or maybe have just kind of given up on God for all the wrong reasons. We need to be willing to look them in the eye and say, what do you need prayers for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because even those people who claim to be atheist and agnostic, when that question is put to them, you can see the rock around their heart gently fall away
mm-hmm.
over time. And you just keep going back. And even if they were, God forbid, to mock you, you know, to roll the eyes, give you the exhale, that kind of thing, that's okay. Because you know what? Their exterior expression, all that's really showing you is that they're uncomfortable,
yeah.
And they're trying to get secure again, and they're trying to find their footing. But the reality is, you have gotten through.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten through because you're bringing nothing except genuine love and authentic love, and you're bringing nothing of yourself. It's completely selfless to ask somebody else what they need prayers for. And the challenge is to listen to them, to remember to pray for it, to be disciplined to pray for it daily, and to follow up with them. Nothing yeah. will warm a person up to a Christian like the selfless gift of prayer and the selfless gift of acceptance and love.
Yeah. And Mark, you know, I mean, it really is important too, because when you ask somebody that, I found more often than not, probably 8 out of 10 times, it opens a dialogue.
Honestly, it'll open a dialogue, and you better be careful where you are, because sometimes it's going to open the tear ducts,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to open the rivers of tears before you know it. And you know, and honestly, I would, you know, and my mom has always been a, you know, let's just keep things nice around the holidays, you know, kind of mm-hmm. lady, kind of lover, you know, just the eternal pacifist, and she's wonderful at that, and I always, I respect her in that, and I you know, I act in a way that will always be respectful and honoring of my mom. At the same time, you know, like the Lord said, hey, I did not come to bring peace to families. I came to bring a sword. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he didn't come to separate families. He came to separate people from sin so that families could really be united. And most likely, there is somebody in almost every one of our families, or there is someone we're going to encounter this holiday season who drastically and desperately needs the love of God. And sometimes love hurts. Sometimes the truth hurts. Mm-hmm. And you know what, God, I guarantee if we open ourselves up to him, now maybe that person will be at home on the holiday, maybe that person will be the one when we run out of ice, we run up to the station, the gas mm-hmm. station, the corner or something, we just encounter somebody who has no family and they're alone, and that's why they're working on Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoever it is, God's going to put someone in our path, and the challenge of any Christian is to be able to discern who that person is and then to discern what the will of God is in that moment. And we need to slow down in the midst of the busyness of the holidays so we don't miss Christ standing right in front of us.
You know, Mark, this kind of begs the question, because there will be those people out there that will be willing to step forward and talk to family members who may have a major issue with either Christianity or, in particular, the Catholic faith. And they may throw all kinds of argumentation out at someone, and you may not necessarily be prepared to answer all those questions, but that's okay, right?
You know, it's absolutely okay. There's nothing more unarming than humility. If you don't know the answer, it's okay to say, I don't know, as long as you follow it up with, but I will find out.
Very good.
And then you have the intestinal fortitude, again, to go and find out, you know, and literally there is such a wealth of knowledge now. I mean, we all know the dangers of the internet, but one of the beauties of it is there is a wealth of knowledge. That literally the depth and the richness of thousands of years of history and church tradition are a click away. And whether that, well, you know, if you want to go to the Vatican website, vatican.va, you can search through it. If you wanted to go to any other host of good Catholic websites, you know, newadvent.org is a Catholic encyclopedia. It's a great place to start. I point adults to our website, to lifeteen.com,
mm-hmm.
or to even to my interior page, biblegeek.com. I point there all the time, not because it's dumbed down, but because it's really, I always try to write responses, or we always try to write content in a sort of a Reader's Digest kind of format, where in a conversational format, you know, in a 90-second elevator, you only have 90 seconds to explain kind of format.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like that's what 90% of the conversations are when it comes to faith. You have that 90-second, you know, elevator conversation. You have that 2-minute, you know, by the water cooler conversation. How do I just open their mind to the church's teaching and truth, just with the really big points. And then if they really want to know more, you can always go deeper.
What I have found in conversations, that when it gets to questions about the real presence or even the Blessed Virgin Mary or something like that, and if you're not prepared to give a proof text or the catechism number, sometimes just your simple witness of saying, all I know is if I don't receive, if I don't have this, I know inside myself that I'm losing out, I'm missing something. And that can speak volumes to someone, beyond all the other stuff. I mean, you can go out and you find the answers for them.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes just telling them emotionally, this so strongly speaks to me, you know, I don't know what else to say.
You know, my grandma, God rest her soul, she always used to, you know, that pavlov cliche, the proof is in the pudding, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't forget our early church grew because of testimony.
Right.
Scriptures weren't even around for the first 30 years. But our church grew because of personal testimony, personal witness, for people that stood up under the threat of death and said, this is why I believe, this is why I follow, this is who this man Jesus Christ is in my life. He is my Savior, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing, like literally the words of Scripture were just recorded, but they were recorded of voices with eyes that were dancing and voices that were strong. And those words will jump off the page if we put it into a personal context. When we stop and we think, Paul was almost killed many times.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been killed many times. And he was only allowed to live by the grace of God as long as he did. But literally, thousands wanted him dead. They wanted his head in a basket, so much so that he was shipwrecked. He was you know, exiled. He was imprisoned. He was lowered out over a wall in a basket. I mean, our evangelists died martyrs' deaths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that happens for a reason. That happens because people are giving personal testimony with a sense of passion and urgency that we do not understand in modern culture.
That's right.
Because we don't get passionate about anything, you know, except the worldly things.
Right.
You know, and honestly, I think you keyed into something so important, and that is that personal testimony, you know, especially, again, if that's why a relationship is so important. If we're steeped in relationship with people, then they're not just turning their back on religion. If they say no, they're turning their back on you. You know, right. And people are very reluctant to do that. You know, what else is really important is to be able to say, you know, that this is what I believe. You know, and that people have to understand that when they take a shot at your faith, that if it's part of you, they're taking a shot at you.
Yep.
And a lot of times they just think they're getting into high-minded debate. You know, one of the first questions we ever have to ask, if someone is really angry or bitter towards the church or towards church teaching or what they perceive of church teachings, what it usually is, because it's usually what they've read in the Times, not what they read in the Catechism.
Yep, that's right.
If someone has an issue with church teaching, whether that's you know, the church's stance on homosexuality or abortion or whatever it is, you know, whatever that is, the first question, if they're trying to enter a debate, and I usually say, you have nothing to defend. You know, we're not the church is not giving us truth; it's guarding the truth.
Yep.
You know, and the truth belongs to God, and we have nothing. We should never get defensive. We don't have anything to justify or to defend. We're just explaining. That's the only position we should be in, is to explain. If the first question asked is not, are you at least open to the idea that the church is right? Are you at least open to this truth? If they're not open, honest to God, don't have the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because your energy is better spent in prayer. Because all you're going to end up, because that is just, that is, if their heart is not open, if they cannot at least say, I'm open to the fact that it could be true, then really you have to take a step back. It's not time to enter a debate with them yet, because you have to pray for their heart first.
And I love that. I love what you just said. You put your energies into prayer and believe your prayer will have the power to transform through the work of the Holy Spirit.
Your prayer can move a mountain.
Yeah,
and that's not that was not symbolic, and that was not figurative. Prayer can work miracles. You know why? Do you know how saints? You know, like when they're humans, you know how they do miraculous things? Prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those were ordinary, everyday people who were born the same way you and I are, who were born with sin, and the only way they were able to accomplish miracles was because of their prayerfulness and their trust in God.
Right. Great faith.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Yeah.
God is wonderful.
Oh,
absolutely.
Your parents, they did such a good job.
Well, you know what's funny? God love you for saying that, but the reality is I'm going to be having the exact same conversations you are and everybody else is around the holiday table, because, you know, I'm the closest thing in the family to a priest, and whenever it turns to religion, everyone starts to raise their eyes like, oh, no, what's Mark going to say now?
Yeah. Oh, I know. I get that all the time from family. I get all the tough questions.
By. Yeah, I can't sit idly by when someone takes a shot at, you know, that. Yeah, you know, birth control, or someone takes a shot at NFP, or tell them to take a shot. You know, my wife and I can't do it, and I'm blessed enough to be married to a very strong, very holy, very humble, very intelligent woman. You know, I'm the one who wants to go charging in, both guns blazing, saying, "How dare you say that?" And she just very quietly and very lovingly just shows them who Christ is.
Yeah, beautiful.
So I learn a lot from my wife.
Your kids are lucky.
Yeah, I learn a lot
blessed.
From my wife too.
Your kids are blessed.
Oh, I hope so.
No, Bruce is the calm one. I'm the one that goes and shoots my mouth off all the time. So.
Yeah, I can see you guys going, well, that's really an interesting thought. Maybe we should listen on Monday.
Yeah, really. Let's see.
I think we're going to have that cardinal on Tuesday. Why don't you listen on Tuesday?
Yeah, really. No. We'll do that, I think. That's a good idea. Or we'll have Mark Hart on. We'll show you.
God bless your whole ministry. You're wonderful. I'm sure that God just sits and rejoices when he sees how much love, and because I know how much love and how much work goes into doing this kind of stuff. You guys, so God bless you both. Thanks for what you're doing.
Well, he brought us you, and that is a tremendous gift to us all. So, you know, as we get towards the season, and to say, you know, Merry Christmas and praise God and glory to God in the highest, we include you in those songs.
Thank you. And, you know, do you ever stop and just think? I mean, especially Advent always hits me. Do you realize that every day we're one day closer to seeing Jesus face to face?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
how exciting that is! I mean,
God willing,
your death, but I just. I mean, every day we're like one day closer. It's just so exciting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a great thing. And got a lot of warriors out there arm in arm, and we're glad you've chosen to go arm in arm with us on these programs, Mark. We really appreciate it.
I want to go where you're going.
Well, if we don't see each other sooner, I'll see you in the Eucharist.
You got it. So. Also, one other thing I wanted to point out before we go, of course, you were talking about the Internet and all of the tremendous resources that are there, too. And we just found out the other day in talking with Thomas Crogwell that the web surfers have basically chosen as a patron saint, St. Isidore of Seville.
Really?
Yeah, for wholesome web surfing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yep, so you got to go find those St. Isidore prayer cards and start handing them out to to all your friends so they can put them on their computer monitors.
Well, it's kind of ironic because I wouldn't even know where to find a St. Isidore prayer card. In the first place I would look would probably be the internet. So how ironic is that? That's great.
There you go.
Yeah, he was the first of the great accumulators of a database. Yeah,
he did like a 26-volume encyclopedia.
Oh, some huge, massive brainiac thing, you know. Yeah. And
St. Clair has been by herself for so long with media, you know. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, I think St. Isidore is right up there.
You bet.
Yeah.
We'll call him Izzy.
Izzy.
Yeah, St. Izzy.
Well,
I
Mark,
think he'd like that.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, buddy. We're just kind of flat out of time here, but we look forward to talking to you again next week and getting geeky.
And may
my pleasure.
And may the beautiful holy days we're about to encounter bless you and your wonderful family and all the work you do.
Oh, I'll take all the grace I can get.
Thanks, Mark.